You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
So oftentimes the music is a crutch. It's like people get up and do a speech and they talk to their slides. It's a crutch and a barrier to the real music making. And when I've had the opportunity to tell the choir, throw away your music, we're going to sing it from memory, there's a new dimension of music making that's accessible to them. So we talk about our duty and delight, and our blessings are also our curses if we don't manage them correctly. So learning to read music is an ability, but it's also could be a barrier if you don't do it correctly.
Now, Amy Grant, who's been very successful, and she's ministered to me throughout the years after I became a Christian, she said, you know, I don't remember too many ministers and what they said on Sunday morning, their preaching, but she said, I do remember the songs. So it is amazing the power of music, and we know biblically that there were prophets who said, get me the musicians, get me the musicians. Before Israel would go to war, they would have musicians. Even in these United States, the Revolutionary War, they would have the drum group and the fife and all that stuff. And music's a very powerful tool. It's used in the advertising world. And today I would like to talk. I do want to get to your own personal testimony, but I am concerned where I've gone into some churches, not to be critical, and I don't want to have a critical spirit, but more and more I see entertainment sort of subjugating real praise and worship. And you might say, well, how do you define that? So I'm going to ask you. I had a situation once where I believe I was with 800 men, and we were praising God at a YMCA up on Lake George, New York, at a men's conference. And I literally was touched by God so powerfully, I asked him to turn down the volume of his visitation, or I felt my heart was going to explode. At this later age, now I would say that I would think I was having a heart attack. So he inhabits the praises of his people. So what you did for 40 years in these churches is quite extraordinary, and if you really enter in praise and worship, you can change life. But anyway, I'd like you to define, if you can, what is real praise? What is real worship?
Well, first of all, the term praise and worship is a trendy thing that people say that actually has no validity. Praise is a part of worship. It's worship is worship is worship. Praise is part of worship. Thanksgiving is part of worship. Confession in some traditions, all of them ought to be. So they're parts of worship. Praise is a part of worship. So worship stands alone, the worship of God. So praise and worship shows a lack of understanding of our theology and of worship itself. Music serves worship. It's part of the worship. And, you know, talking about how people remember music more than the sermon makes a musician very unpopular with clergy that they work with. And so there's the highest conflict in most churches is the church musician and the senior pastor.
Why?
Well, you got two people that are predominantly introverts, two people that have their system of power, and then two people that don't understand the other one. And then they both contribute. Let me say, the musician said, no, this is how we do it. And, you know, this is what we were taught in school. This is how we're going to do it, which really doesn't show an understanding of how worship needs to be driven by the pastor. Then the pastor tries to dictate the music and blaming lack of attendance or whatever on the music, when in fact it might be their preaching. So trying to micromanage a musician, which happens many times, does not find favor with the musician, and the musician's being petulant and churlish and not really playing as a team player happens a lot. And so they both feed into this conflict. Now, we're going to have conflict, but we need to resolve it, especially when it comes to worship. And when you're reading the Bible, you go into worship and you have something against your brother, you have to confess it before you go to communion. There's a very strong condemnation of going to worship and having this unresolved anger happen.
Sure. And I got so many things I want to ask you today. For instance, I'm in my car and all of a sudden I start, either I hear a song that is worshiping the Lord, or maybe I start to worship the Lord, and then suddenly I become emotional. And I wonder, have I manipulated myself with the music, Or has the music actually, because it is written in the scriptures, right, that God inhabits the praises of his people, is a visitation, because I don't want there to be any fakery in my life. I don't want to even deceive myself, you know. Is it just pure emotion, or is it really a connection somehow through worshiping God, even when I'm by myself?
Well, you know, music is a spiritual medium. We have these little notes and we have these instruments we play, but fundamentally it's a spiritual presence that supersedes the sounds. The sounds are how we deliver it, but there's a spiritual presence. And in worship, that's focused on us worshiping God. And where the entertainment piece comes on, it's about the performer. I'm going, hey, look at me, look at me. So in the entertainment church, it's about appeasing people. And, you know, I would choose, you know, in my tradition, it was the standard hymns and the standard classical repertoire in the standard Gothic or modern cathedral setting, the church setting. And that those churches were built for that kind of music and that kind of worship and using the hymnal as a rack. And we've abandoned the hymnals, which is a vast library of theological excellence. And we've just cast them aside as being boring, but what's been boring is how the musicians played them, not the hymnody itself. It's a profound statement of faith and a profound growing of faith. And we've substituted a few lines of a biblical text or me and my God text. We've been at a personal experience instead of a group experience. Worship is a gathering, is a corporate experience. We come to God together. We worship God together. And the Kierkegaard said, we are the performers and God is the audience. We often have people that are performing to us and we're spectators. So there's a lot of dynamics and the mainline churches are taking a nosedive. And 5 years ago, the Washington Post had an article said, the Christian church, mainline Christian church in America has 23 Easters remaining before they go obscure. And the five last years since that article have proven that to be true. It's going down, down, down. And it's
what is going down? Attendance?
Attendance, membership, participation. I mean, we're no longer a Christian nation. We have a few percentage, very small percentage, that go to church. And many of those are more of a humanist kind of social gospel than a fundamental, basic Christian gospel. We read the Bible and say, okay, have we drifted from what the Bible has asked us to do? And there are many things in the Bible that are, there are Psalms, 150 Psalms. We read them. They're really songs. They're songs of the faith. And in my tradition, I grew up Presbyterian. For 150 years, Presbyterians sang what they call the Psalms, which were the Jewish hymns of faith out of the Bible. And then Isaac Watts started putting into metric settings, and they became part of our hymnody. We moved from there, but that's an anchor. We have canticles in the Bible, the Song of Mary, the Canticle of Zechariah. We have wonderful canticles that are really strong statements of faith as they are. And then we take a really dramatic hymn text. The hymn, when I say hymn, that's the words. We take, and then we partner that with a melody, a hymn tune or a song. And then if that's not a good partnership, then we it's a contradiction. So you have this majestic text and you put it with a sing-songy melody, you've really undermined the meaning of that great, powerful text. The words are powerful and the music needs to complement that. We tend to just sing the music and not focus on the words. So it's really important that the music enhances and supports and fulfills the meaning of the text.
So that's called prosody, right? Prosody, that's the word I learned from Songwriter Magazine years ago, the marriage of the lyric to the melody.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but, you know, like somebody like Bob Dylan, who I love his poetry, I love his words first and foremost, but he's a pretty bright guy, and he's managed to find, you know, just like you're going to have to serve somebody. It's almost got that Indian. Dum, dum, dum. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil. It may be the Lord. You're going to have to serve somebody. And he's reached a lot of people that maybe were unreachable. I wasn't even saved when he came out with that song and when he put out that album. But the power of music, and of course, he was a witness. He did not bring me to the Lord, but he certainly planted some seeds. As many do out there, but
Back to your statement about how the music impacts you emotionally.
Yeah.
You know, part of why people aren't going to church is because the music's terrible. And we have, you know, a lot of small churches. I live in Virginia. We have lots of rural churches, lots of small churches with a handful of people. And then somebody trying to pick some notes to play on the piano. And it's not really impactful. It's not inspirational. It doesn't get me focused. The last church I served was in Alabama, and the preacher said to me, you know, music is everything in worship. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean music? He said, I get up to preach. The music's been bad. It's horrible to try to save this worship. So the music, you know, leads to the word. The word leads to God. The word leads us to transformation and our faith journey. So it's all got to work together. And one of the reasons the mainline churches are suffering is because the music, you know, isn't bad, and the preacher has to save it, and the preacher's not good at that. So we're not really understanding the nature of worship and how powerful it is and how we need to be very intentional about it. And well, then the entertainment piece is the opposite, where people just come have a good time. Nobody challenges them. You know, when people come to me and say, why'd you pick that song? It was just, that bothers me. I said, great, God's working on you. You know, you don't go to worship to be comforted. You know, the great theologian said, worship is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. You know, if we're going to grow, we got to be outside our comfort zone.
Well, that's so you can, music can be praise, worship, but it also can be evangelical. A lot of the music today, though, I hear in churches, and because I'm very, this is part of my calling. We don't need to get into me today, but just understand it is, in fact, a calling from the Lord. I know that.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Out of the darkness.